Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on Acast. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. My weekly cleaning advice column, Ask a Clean Person, appears on Esquire.com, and you should send your questions about cleaning or anything else, really, to JolieKerr@gmail.com. With me, as always, is my partner in crime, Dave Lozo. Hey, Dave.
Hi.
We also have a very special guest with us, New York Magazine's sex columnist and host of the podcast Sex Lives, Maureen O'Connor, is back in the studio, and we are so excited to have her join us.
Yay! Happy to be here.
It's weird having a third person. I dressed up today for this, too. I put on my best workout pants and t-shirt.
Just trying to woo Maureen.
Yeah,
I love it.
The way my body, you know, falls into this baggy blue t-shirt. Women go crazy.
I'm gonna joke to death now.
It wasn't that funny.
No, it wasn't.
You're laughing a little too hard at that now.
No, I'm still choking on my Starbucks. It's the first Starbucks I've had in a month, and I'm choking on it.
Did you do a dry January?
Oh, yeah.
Is that why?
I did. Well, it's actually, I did more than that. I did a whole 30.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was great. And we'll talk about that. Let's talk about it on one of our bonus episodes that we're going to do, because we have so much to cover today. Before we get into it, very important, because we have so much to cover, this is actually going to be a two-part episode. So this is part one, and next week you guys will hear part two. So Maureen is sticking around for another episode. I was like, Maureen, please
so
come
many.
Do two. We have so much to talk about.
So many disgusting sex stains to deal with.
We do. We have a lot of them, and I'm really excited about every single one of them. And I know Maureen is too, and I think Dave probably is too.
I mean, I've read these emails twice now, and I really can't get over how fantastic they are.
They are great. We have really, really good questions. Okay, before we can get into it, though, we want to remind you that we offer bonus episodes and all sorts of other cool rewards to our premium subscribers. If you would like to help underwrite our show by becoming an Ask a Clean Person, the podcast patron, go to patreon.com/askacleanperson. to check out all the packages we're offering and select the level of giving that's right for you. Your support helps us so much, and we'd love to hear from you if there are rewards you'd like us to consider making available. We also have a special announcement vis-a-vis our Patreon account. As some of you may have seen on Twitter or Facebook, Dave and I decided to donate our patron funds from January to the ACLU. So we would like to give an extra thank you to our patrons, not only for supporting our show, but for allowing us to give a donation to the ACLU at a time when they very much need it, but they're rolling in dough right now. But it felt good to give it. So I needed it. I needed to do that. So it was great. So thank you to our existing and our new patrons. We do have some new patrons, and we would like to say a huge thank you to Christine Carney, Melissa Banks, and Megan Reynolds. We really appreciate you guys. And just to set where we are in time, this is February 2nd, and these episodes will be airing on February 14th, Valentine's Day, which of course is why we have Maureen here to talk about all sorts of sexy topics, and February 21. So that is where we are in time, and I made that donation to the ACLU today, so that was great, and I felt great about that. Okay, speaking of all kinds of great political things, since we have Maureen here, and not a single one of the three of us has yet to recover from the golden shower scandal that soaked the world,
I'm gonna be talking about that for the rest of my life.
Yeah. We thought we'd kick off Maureen's visit with a rousing discussion of fetishes, and specifically for our purposes to talk about which ones we think are the messiest. So we're just going to have a little fun with this. Before we get into that, I actually do want Maureen to talk a little bit about the piece that she wrote for New York Magazine about Trump's golden shower scandal.
Ah, yes.
Dave and I talked about it. I actually haven't even told you this yet. Dave and I talked about it. We did a bonus episode right after the golden shower story broke. Probably our best bonus episode to date because we were just gleeful, right? I mean, that's the greatest story that ever happened to the two of us, and it's the greatest story that ever happened to you and me, Maureen.
I need to become a premier listener.
I'm so ashamed
you've outed me.
I'll send you the raw file because I mentioned it. But I was talking about the article that you wrote about the scandal and its perfection, its flawed perfection.
Yes.
And I was singing its praises, and I said that I think it's actually my favorite piece of yours, which is saying a lot because I love your writing and so much of it really sticks with me. But that the piece was just perfect. So I want you now to talk about it for our whole wide, huge, big, full audience so they can hear what your take on it was.
The sheer perfection of Donald Trump's golden shower rumor. Or it might have been pee rumor. I can't remember how I called it. But
you call it golden shower. I remember.
Yeah, it's just that it was so unbearably. Oh, you know what? There was an addendum to this story, and that, like, I don't believe it because I just don't believe Donald Trump is creative enough to come up with a tableau like that, particularly not for an audience. Like, when you do something that elaborate, it's really just for you. Like, when you hire a whole bunch of prostitutes to do something alone in a room, that's just you and your imagination, and I just don't think he has a good enough imagination.
Oh, you know, I hadn't thought of that because he
I think if somebody was clapping their hands and be like, "You're so mean to Obama," he'd be like, "Yeah," and maybe he'd do it. I just don't believe that he has the creativity for that. Although I am very open to being wrong about that.
Okay.
My instinct was that it was untrue as soon as I saw it. But everything about it was so funny and perfect of however this rumor started in whatever manner to think that of all childish things Donald Trump would do, he would randomly choose a bed and be like, "That's the Obama bed. It's a bed I just paid to sleep on. But no, it's the Obama bed. Let's piss all over it." And on top of that, inviting Russia literally into the presidential bed to piss all over it after he's given them money and he's giving them extra money for their services was just like so ridiculous and funny. One of my favorite elements of this, though, there was an addendum on a notable fake news moment and fake news website that claimed to have found one of the Russian prostitutes that did this.
Oh, how did I miss this?
Well, here's why you missed it, because it was
fake news.
Demonstrably untrue, in part because the woman they chose, who then went into and described how long the penis was.
Oh,
and it was
small, untrue, untrue.
And she describes how he like has a 1-inch penis, and she's like, "We knew we'd have to do something other than sex. He was physically incapable." However, the photo website used.
I believe. I thought she was saying that's the penis was big, which I'm like, no, that's false.
Pretty sure this woman doesn't exist, though, because the funniest thing is this site, the pictures they use to illustrate her were the pictures of the real woman who, about a year ago, accused Elliot Spitzer of abusing her in a hotel room. And then she fled back to Russia, and then she rescinded some of it. And it was this nutty story that is really only played out, I think, in the New York Daily tabloids. But they literally used the pictures of that woman. And it was crazy because you're like, it's like you just have this, like, the shape of a woman who causes political scandal is this, like,
this is
skinny
one
Russian
person.
Call girl, right?
I mean, that's just that's just sloppy fake news. That annoys me.
Have more pride
in your craft.
And then I was like, or is this woman pulling the strings behind everything?
Maybe. Oh, I like that.
She's
a spy honeypot.
But I have to defend poor Elliot Spitzer and his black socks, only because I had to admit to Maureen recently that I love Elliot Spitzer's black socks.
Oh yeah, why do you love them?
I don't know.
They aren't real. You know that he did not have the.
Yeah, and you ruined. That's why I had to admit it to Maureen. Ruined it, and it was actually in your Trump in your golden shower piece. I think I tweeted it out and I was like, this is so good that I'm going to overlook the fact that it ruined Elliot Spitzer's black socks for me. And Maureen tweeted back and was like, wait, you liked them, and I was like, yes.
Why?
You find it
charming?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. I find Elliot Spitzer to be, like, super dishy. I think I saw him on the street recently, actually.
Really?
I should have, like, chased him down. He's single, right?
I think he's single.
I don't think it matters. I think he's okay either way.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, this isn't to excuse anything he did, right? Mm. But I find him dishy. And yeah, there was just something about those black socks that I was like, woof. Yeah.
That's wild.
So
yeah.
Is it ruined for you now? Like,
because I thought it was real. I for sure thought it was real.
Well, here's the weirdest thing about that. It's fake, or most people now think it's fake, and that it was Roger Stone, the Nixon henchman turned Trump supporter, who was sort of in that circle a little bit. He has a tattoo of Nixon's face on his back. Like, this guy is extreme.
Whoa.
And he... Anyways.
Fucking people.
He is so dedicated to the cause. So Roger Stone wrote this, like, column accusing Spitzer of... And he says the reason he knew that Spitzer was using call girls is because he was at a sex club in New York and happened to meet a lady, and the lady had this story. And so he told the story of how he wore the black socks, whatever. And then when other people investigated it, it turned out that there was some truth to it, except that the prostitute in question was like, everybody was like, dude, we've been like serving this guy for a certain amount of time. He never kept his socks on. That detail is just weird. Hmm. And so what it seems like is that Roger Stone, I mean, who knows where he heard this detail, if it came straight out of his mind, but on some level he recognized that you need one memorable detail to make the sex scandal really stick.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, the Spitzer's black socks, Bill Clinton's got the cigar and the blue dress.
Yeah.
But the blue dress happened.
Well, yeah, those are real.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's real, sometimes it's not, right? But this Spitzer scandal, I mean, it was a full-on scandal. There were prostitutes, there was this. But there wasn't, like, something that gives you, like, a weird mental image.
Yeah.
And that mental image of this sort of naked, vulnerable, pale, skinny guy with his black socks on, paying for love. I mean, I always thought that I was like, that's, like, mastercraft of this, you know, like,
that
right-wing henchman to make him look so vulnerable and sad. Although then Jolie was like, I always thought that was hot. And then I'm like, and I don't even know what
the game is going. I also have notoriously terrible taste in men, so one time a million years ago, I was watching Saturday Night Live with a group of girlfriends, and Jack Johnson was playing. I love Jack Johnson. And I was like swooning all over the place. And my girlfriends were like, Jesus, Jolie, that's what you like? Like, no wonder your romantic life is a disaster. They were like, you need to stop going for that kind of guy.
No. You can go for that
like
kind of
sensitive
guy, but you just need the right one. You need a sensitive guy.
No, I need a jerk. I need it. I need an alpha jerk. I need an alpha jerk. Absolutely, 100%.
I
do. Yeah, I do. I need to be. I need to
be
bossed around.
The alpha jerks get everyone.
Don't
be the alpha jerks.
I don't actually know if we're going to talk about cleaning at all in this episode. Let's move on from alpha jerks because I do want to talk about. I do want to talk about the fetishes because
there is a. Oh,
okay. I spent yesterday.
Sorry.
I spent yesterday researching fetishes, and it was a great way to spend a day. I would highly recommend it for people who are getting really overwhelmed by the state of world affairs. Take an hour and do a deep dive on fetishes because it'll distract
you. It's a fully absorbing.
It really is.
To go down.
So I was actually a little bit disappointed in what my research turned up because what I was looking for. I was looking for a list of common fetishes. Like, I wanted, like, the top 50 most common fetishes. And
BuzzFeed's list.
And BuzzFeed did. BuzzFeed failed me. I'm going to, like, write an angry letter to BuzzFeed Ben Smith at Twitter.com.
Number 22, leaving your socks on.
Yeah. But the thing is, I was finding lists, but none of them were for particularly good sites. And I actually was texting Maureen last night while I was doing this because one of the sites that I was looking at had just like the most ridiculous name. It's called lovepanky.com.
Panky.
Did you explore Love Panky any further?
I didn't. And I'm going to I think
hold
just cuz
a computer right here.
Cuz why not?
What's
Dave,
what is Love Panky's deal?
Dave can explore lovepanky.com. So anyway, I was a little disappointed And I'm not exactly positive that I found like all the right sources, but I did put together a list of what I think are the most common fetishes based on my research. So I'm gonna read them all off, and we can talk about which ones we think are gonna be the most difficult to clean up.
All right.
Okay. So here we go. Here's Jolie's list of fetishes. God, I have the best job in the world. Okay, foot fetish, spanking fetish, adult babies.
Are we supposed to be commenting now?
No, I'm just going to read them all. There are only like...
Sorry, keep going.
There are like 15 of them. It's not that many.
It's not a huge... It's overload to get them all at once.
Okay, it's not a huge list.
I'm going to pay attention.
Okay, so right. So to recap, so far we've gone through foot, spanking, adult babies. Mm-hmm. Voyeurism. Mm-hmm. Then this one is a three-parter. Latex, rubber, and leather. Those are all lumped together. Furries. BDSM. Balloons.
Okay, time out. The other ones, I kind of know what they are. I don't know what this. What's who's wearing the thing and who's popping the balloon.
It's.
Do you know what it is?
More like rubbing and bouncing and periodic popping.
It's just like the presence and playing with of balloons.
Okay.
Yeah, that one really got me. I was like, oh.
Well, one thing that many fetishes are about, like...
Fetish? Okay.
They're the ones that are, like, involving something like, say, putting PVC around your own body. And then they're also the fetishes that are like, I just want to watch someone bouncing on a balloon.
Right.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
They're sort of all...
That's the thing about fetishes is that they manifest in different ways.
Yes.
So
like, some people with foot fetishes, they want to, like, lick and suck on toes. But other people with foot fetishes want to be walked on.
Or they want to watch somebody putting their foot.
Or they want to watch a woman putting like pantyhose and high heels on.
Okay, so we'll finish reading your list, and then we'll get into the dirty.
Tickling, cuckolding, which I imagine is a big one right now since cuck is like the I hate that word. I think it's it's not doing it for me. Water sports, swinging, cross dressing, role play. And blood? Yes. And the blood one was one
that's
where
like vampire shit.
Where I it was the only one that I was reading the description of that I got like the heebie-jeebies about, because one of the things that was described wasn't like so blood, like the blood fetish can be just like period sex.
Okay.
Oh.
Right. But there it also can go deeper than that, and it can be things like someone wanting to like lick blood,
yeah,
or
I was picturing
like
goth people like doing like, you know.
Yeah, and the reason that it squicked me out was that I had just read about Kat Marnell, because you know she has her big book coming, or just came out.
I know who that is for sure.
So she, you do, or you don't? You don't know who Kat Marnell is?
Kat Marnell.
I mean, I just thought, like, because we're all New York media people, you would know. So she was
a
writer.
Real Housewife?
Is
she on Vanderpump?
She isn't on Vanderpump.
She's a senator, right? You're going to, like, totally make me feel bad.
No, she's not a senator. She's a drug addict.
Oh, good for her.
She's a writer. She worked at ExoJane. She was at Condé Nast for a number of years, and she was a beauty editor at ExoJane. And she's also a noted and very vocal drug addict. And a lot of what she writes about is her use of drugs.
That's a good job.
And she got this half million dollar advance to write her memoir. She's blown through the entire advance in a year. It took her 3 years to write the book. Just to put this in perspective, you guys, I got, I think, less than a tenth. 1%, something like that, like for my advance, and I wrote my book in 6 months. Mm-hmm. It's just like,
wait, but why?
Drugs.
Why is the blood fetish?
Okay, so here's why. So she's doing all this. You know, you have to do a lot of press when you have a book coming out, and she obviously has a very high profile book coming out. So she's in the press all the time. And one of the profiles I read of her, she was talking about. I think she tells the story in the book that this guy who she was like involved with in some way. She got a nosebleed from doing too much coke, and he like drank the blood out of her nose.
Oh. He looked at it. Was it like, don't want to waste the coke?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's intense.
Yeah,
that's a blood fetish.
So I had read that, and then yesterday I was I had read that 2 days ago, and then yesterday I was researching the fetishes, and I got to the blood thing, and that was the image that the blood fetish evoked for me. So that was why I got squicked.
The blood fetish is the messiest, but also like messy in terms of like bodily health. I mean,
yeah, like,
that's a very dangerous one depending on how it's playing out.
Yep.
But even if it's playing out safely, blood stains are just awful. Those are difficult.
Is it bad that I think the balloons one's weirder?
No, it's not.
Right? Like water balloons, maybe? Like a little foreplay where you just throw some water balloons at each other? No? Is that water sport. You can't combine the two?
I think that's only if there's pee inside the balloon.
I know.
That's really hard to
pee into a water balloon. Wouldn't it be hard? I don't
know. No, you collect the urine and then you pour it in.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You have to
use a funnel. You don't have to squat over the balloon.
See, that's number one.
You'd have to have an amazing aim to be
adult?
Able to...
Oh.
Get your stream into because yeah. the opening.
That's actually like
well.
A game at like fairs. You know, you got to pop the balloon in the clown's head.
Adult babies could be messy depending on what element of the babyhood
exactly.
you are enacting. Just because babies are messy.
Yeah.
So you know what? One that didn't make my list, but that I think would be one of the messiest is scat.
Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you wanted me to look.
I don't mean to kink shame that.
No, that's
Do you
okay.
not know what that is?
No, I'm shocked that he doesn't know what it is.
I use it in the context of bebopping and scatting.
Okay, like, Google scat play and do it as an image search.
Okay.
No, it's S-C-A-T.
Oh, S-C-A-T.
Yeah.
S-C-A-T, scat
He used
play.
The word scat.
Or do you like scat play sex?
He used the
sure
word scat when I walked in here today. And I was like, really? You're using the word scat?
Oh, this is cool. They use pudding and stuff, right?
Yes, Dave. That's exactly
That's
what
delicious.
It is.
That's food play. That's fun. Wait, why is this guy in a tub
Okay, so
of
here's
it?
My here's my thing about the messiest ones. I agree, adult
Wait,
babies
it's poop if anyone doesn't know.
Yeah. Dave, why don't you tell the audience what the scat fetish is?
It's just a couple in love that really wants to experience each other's full body potential.
Yeah.
That is what it is. Is the word I want to use.
Terrible.
All right.
It's poop, you guys.
So yeah, that can be pretty messy.
So I actually think that water sports are the messiest. And here's why. Even though urine isn't as like gross as poop is, it can go farther and it can seep into more things.
It's pernicious.
Yeah, exactly.
And
so
there's a large quantity of it.
And there's a large quantity of it, which is the other reason I rank it above blood.
Ah.
Yeah. So there you go. So there's my thought. If you guys listening want to weigh in, I would love to hear your thoughts. And I'd love to hear about like other. I'm interested in fetishes and
you know
Here's the thing. There is a fetish for literally everything in the world. So one of the lists I found in my research was like a full list of like every fetish ever. And the only thing was it was very hard to parse because it started with the technical fetish name and then next to it it had the, like, you know, balloons or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was actually kind of hard to, like, because it was so vast, it was actually kind of hard to, like, get through the, or, like, pull meaningful things out of the list. But anyway, there you go. All right. So I think on that note, we should get into our first question.
All right.
Yeah. Which is... fetish related question. Dave, are you
sorry? I was
yeah,
still
I know what you're doing because I'm looking at you.
Like, you know how you do a Google image search and you get down low enough and they're no longer related to your search? Like, yeah. this one just kept going. they had a lot more. They had a lot more than the first 20 that I saw. Good for you. Do whatever.
Yeah.
Do whatever gets you to the place you want to get to.
Yep. Alrighty.
Alright, so Ryan.
Yeah. Let's do this.
Ryan's got a problem. Ryan's got something he needs solved. And he says, "Hi, Jolie. I'm a giant fan of your articles and podcasts. I am not a clean person, but God knows I am trying, and your frank advice on all topics is so helpful and relieving." Not like pee relieving. he just likes it. "You are so sex positive and non-shaming. That being said, I have an urgent question. Here's the setup. I am a boy in a kinky daddy-boy relationship. My daddy just granted me with my first collar ever when I signed a 3-month service contract. the collar he gifted me. And by the way, he caps the H and he.
Yes, I was hoping you were going to point that out.
Yeah.
And I don't,
that's not an accident. Yeah.
And
yeah.
he caps daddy, but lowercase is boy.
Yeah.
When he writes boy slash daddy.
That's true, too. Right, right, right.
It's poetry.
He's really committed. I mean,
commit to the bit. That's what I always say. Yeah. Never break character. If this is your thing, do your thing.
Yeah.
The collar he gifted me is a steel chain from a hardware store with a master brand lock. I've worn it for just over 2 weeks now, and it is getting nasty. All caps. That's it. That's just for emphasis there, I think. I don't think that's part of the thing. I've tried scrubbing it with baking soda and then tried peroxide toothpaste. The baking soda works okay to clean the lock, which has these micro grooves so it traps all the dirt and dead skin real well, but does nothing to clean the chain. I can't seem to clean it. It's getting dark, dull, and discolored. I don't take it off ever as part of the contract, so I have to find a way to clean it without taking it off for the next 3 months, at which point I can ask for a stainless steel collar instead. My daddy will change my collar if it gets really dramatic, like I get a rash or something. But it's my first, and I'm really proud of it. In kinky terms, this is like a wedding ring to me, and it's traditional to wear the collar you're given until you're gifted another. At least that's how it is in our corner of the world. I know this email is horrifically long. It's long.
I mean,
but it's
honestly,
great.
He could have gone on.
Oh my god,
fascinated.
I would have read a book of that.
Yeah, not for nothing. You, if you cut three paragraphs out, send them into us, and we'll read that part.
No, I left it all as is.
This is horrifically long. Do you have any advice for me? I don't mind being a dirty boy, but I don't want to be a gross one. Please help me, Jolie. You're my only hope. He even works on a little Star Wars reference at the end.
You know, a lot of people do address me as Jolie One Kenobi. Have I ever told you that?
I would have remembered if you had told me that.
Which I think it's the funniest thing that, like, it's not an infrequent thing.
This is not the Febreze you're looking for.
And it's so weird to me that, like, for whatever reason, Jolie conjures Obi. But, all right, I'll take it.
Why don't they call you Angelina Jolie? Huh?
That's terrible, Dave.
But what?
That's really bad.
No positive reinforcement here at all.
No. I'm sex positive, but I'm not Dave positive.
I love this question, though, because it's the wedding ring dilemma, except, A, he can't take it off, which makes it really hard to clean, I would imagine, especially, like, something on your neck that's, like, an awkward angle to be working at. And B, like, is there a way to keep a chain from turning into that dull, you know, like, when they're at the hardware store, they're all shiny.
Yeah.
But, like, once they're around... Is there a way to keep them?
Well, let's see if we can figure out the answer to that.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's actually, like, not only is this question amazing, but there's an amazing story about this question. So a few weeks before the question came in, another reader and listener had gotten in touch with me. His name is Paul. And he had emailed to tell me that he runs a cleaning service in San Francisco. It's like could only exist in San Francisco. So this is so San Francisco. I love it. I love it, love it. He runs a cleaning service in San Francisco for people who have fetish rooms or gear in their homes, and that's his specialty.
Cleaning fetish gear.
Cleaning, yeah. And he said he has a lot of clients who have, like, you know, full fetish rooms. I mean, the thing is, at this stage in the game, now people are broadly familiar with them because of 50 Shades of Grey.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you can picture that kind of room from 50 Shades of Grey, that's basically the kind of things that he services from a cleaning perspective.
Which has to be difficult because, like,
going on in there too.
Things staining leather is always difficult, and there's a lot of leather involved in that.
There's a lot of leather, exactly. So, and I've written about that before, and I think I've touched on it on some previous podcast episodes, but I can't recall if I've done it. So anyway, so Paul got in touch with me, and, like, you know, I wrote back to him, and first of all, it's like a fascinating career, and I told him, I was like, listen, the next time I'm in San Francisco, I'm going to give you a shout. I'd love to buy you a drink and, like, just, like, clean person to clean person chat and blah blah blah. So anyway, so when I got this question from Ryan, I was like, oh, as fate would have it, I just heard from a guy whose specialty is cleaning fetish gear. Would you mind if I asked him about your problem?
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, I'll keep it anonymous and blah blah blah. And Ryan was like, which I also want to say, I did change his name for use on the show, even though he said to me, he was like, I'm super, super out. He has kind of an unusual first name, and so I just decided that it was better for the purposes of the show to use a pseudonym. Anyway, but he was like, yeah, go ahead. He was like, I really appreciate that, you know, you're being sensitive to anonymity, but don't even worry about it. Like, I'm super out. So anyway, so I emailed Paul and I was like, hey, Paul, I, you know, here's this question that I got. And I'm wondering if you can offer any advice. And so here's what Paul's response was. It says, hey, Jolie, thanks for reaching out. How timely this question is. Gosh, the generic hardware chain that stores normally sell is low carbon steel. I would imagine if it were something fancier, his daddy would know it. The problem with low carbon steel is that it corrodes super fast. I actually wonder if his use of vinegar or toothpaste is making it worse.
Oh no.
I have tried cleaning a lot of slings held up with this chain, and there is little that is more frustrating than trying to clean these chains covered in Crisco. I just
Crisco?
Have the best job in the world, honestly.
So they don't creak?
In Crisco?
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're using it as part of their sexy
No, because if it's a sling, then it's the chain is holding the sling from the, is suspending it from the
right.
ceiling.
I thought it was like a chafing.
So they won't
thing.
Be like on it. The sling will be a different material.
Right, I understand that.
Yeah.
But I just, I think that
the Crisco just be so it can like swing around with ease. You know, like when you like I don't know the door answer. Hinge? Anyways.
Oh yeah, the chain's covered in Crisco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get that.
It's like a door hinge, I think, the way you like put grease in that sometimes.
Oh, I just thought it was like getting on like because your hands.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to grab the chain to get into the swing.
I guess it depends on what the swing
on what
is.
The
but
yeah.
Anyway. But anyways.
Okay. Anyway, apparently that's an annoying thing. I would imagine that would be annoying actually.
We're out of Crisco. We can't have sex tonight.
To try to clean a chain covered in Crisco.
Yeah, that sounds hard.
So sorry. So Paul continues. I may just recommend using a small amount of dish soap and drying it super well afterwards, and drying it right after he showers, etc. The lock is probably made out of a different type of metal though. Sometimes locks will be chrome plated, and that can come off over time. He also mentioned the grooves in the metal. I wonder if he could scrub it with a toothbrush and vinegar and then paint it with a lacquer or clear nail polish to level the surface, which would also make it a lot, at least easier to clean. Hope this helps. So there you go.
All right.
Mm. Like, the fact that I could connect these two.
That's the beauty of Ask a Clean
is,
Person.
It was a really great moment
it's
for
like
me.
It's like Angie's List for people who have
exactly,
sex fetishes.
Exactly.
You're like the middleman that gets the job done.
Exactly.
So it sounds like when his daddy presents him a new collar, perhaps he should have it not be a car. Well, maybe he doesn't.
Yeah,
like
he'll. And that's what he said.
And he graduates to a stainless steel.
So I actually. I
guess that's why they call it stainless steel, right? Because it doesn't turn black.
Yeah. Hmm. So.
Never really put that together.
I never really thought about that till now.
Huh. This sounds cool. Stainless steel.
So I actually pulled up his response back to me. So I'll read it to you. I'll tell you what he said. So he said, hi, Jolie. Thank you so much. I wanted to follow up. Undiluted white vinegar works wonderfully for the lock. As for the chain, it keeps getting worse. I'm relieved that that's more to do with the type of chain as opposed to some nastiness on my part. Oh. I appreciate all of your help. Take care. So anyway, I think that he will end up, by now he probably already has. I think when their 3-month contract is up, he'll ask his daddy for a different collar.
Mm-hmm.
So. I want to hear about the negotiation. Is it like sports where you like have an agent who like tries to make a better deal? Like, I'm not going for more than 6 months if the chain's not going to be at a certain level, and then they like negotiate back and
probably.
Forth.
Probably. I mean, do you know? I mean, you would probably know more about this than I would.
Well, I think that people usually. The contract stuff is more. It gets so much attention because of like 50 Shades and whatnot. But those who are into contracts, I honestly think that the contract is a component of many people's BDSM fetishes. But I do think that there is some particular like paperwork fetish that gets pulled into this.
It's like an IRS officer is like,
I swear to God, because it's like having this like long sort of legal-ish document, and like, you know, it's like it's part of the play and the. I mean, it's like you're role playing at a negotiation,
yeah,
essentially.
It's not binding.
And at of course, it's not actually binding, right? And so it is really funny to me because like, I was like, you know, I could see how like, would it be fun just to like have like a negotiation and like pretend to be a lawyer and stuff about like,
that sounds like the least
the
fun
conditions of like normal stuff, you know, or not normal, but you know, BDSM. It's, I think, the feeling of being locked in and such, which I guess literally with him with the chain, he's locked in, and then the feeling of being locked in via like
a contract that's binding.
Legal paperwork, because that's where society works. We'd be physically locked, and yet we're also like the truly being locked in is a 20-page contract. That is what's scariest and most controlling in our lives.
Oh my God, I love it. So here's the thing. As you were saying that, I was remembering. So I read 50 Shades of Grey for work. I don't know. Maureen, you might remember this. Dave, I don't think you knew me then. When the movie was coming out, my editors at Deadspin were like, Jolie, you should read the book and write about how to clean up every mess in the book. And so
they
don't
make many messes though in that book.
They did.
They make, oh really?
I cataloged them all. I should have brought my coffee. It still has all of the
all the messes.
Yeah, I not, I guess there was the one paper clip
pulls out her tampon. I don't think that one made a mess.
I remember that one.
He flushed it down the toilet.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, now I do remember that. Anyway, it was a gruesome assignment. I read the book in two sittings, and then writing the post was fun, but having to read the book is really bad.
That's what everybody says.
It's
in fact,
just so
I
bad.
Wrote an article it's once so arguing bad. That it is actually a brilliant work, not about sex, but about dating. Because it's about every step of the way. It's crazy because the entire book takes place and as an internal monologue. It's like Ulysses, but of like a kind of bimbo. It's crazy that this is like this good crazy postmodern work of kind of like airheadedness. But like, it's that every step of the way when you're dating someone, you're like, oh, am I okay with this? Am I cool with this? Maybe I like this. Well, how much more can I take? Well, that might be too much. More? And you're waiting to find out that, like, the comparison I made was to find out a guy lives with his mom. And you're like, oh, my God, there's, like, a secret in your apartment. And he opens the door. And it could be, like, a dungeon. Or it could be, like, my mom lives here. And you're like, okay. Well, I think I'm cool with this. How much mom am I cool with?
I definitely would opt for the dungeon.
Like, can I take one mom per week? 5 moms per week. How much mom is too much mom? Maybe I like moms. Wait, maybe I don't like this mom. Like that, and it's like the whole book is just her prevaricating in this way that, like, I don't
that
think
is
it's
a really, you are really so
now
much
I kind of want to read the book.
Smarter than I'll lend not, you my copy.
It is definitely feels like somebody who has, like, maybe not even had sex, period, much less the type of sex being described. Like, the sex stuff makes no sense at all. But her, like, incessant, like, I can't decide, I can't decide, I can't decide. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? He didn't text back. He didn't text back. It's like, I was like, oh, my God, this is too real.
The other thing about the sex stuff is that it's, like, pretty vanilla as far as BDSM sex stuff goes.
There was no blood play.
I was really there's no balloon play. Yeah,
there's no balloons. I'm not into it. Sorry, that's my new thing.
There
now,
was no.
Time.
Yeah, I was really disappointed in it. I was like, this is not
balloon animals, water balloons. Those like happy birthday balloons.
Anyway, I did. I will say I do still have the copy. I didn't get rid of it during my last book purge. I just couldn't. It was like too sentimental because it reminds me of Deadspin. So Dave, I'm happy.
Moment of our times.
Happy to lend you my copy if you'd like to read it. On that note, let us take a quick break, and Maureen, Dave, and I will be right back with more of your super sexy messes. This is Ask a Theme Person, the podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, so let's just jump right into this one.
All right.
Dave, you want to do the honors?
Where are we at? Darcy?
We're at Darcy.
Darcy. Darcy says, you want a gross? So, well, this is not the grossest thing ever. She kind of builds it up like it's going to be gross, but it's not really that gross. Says, my boyfriend and I were having sex. I'm sorry. She says, my boyfriend and I were having fun. Sex. We were having sex. When, surprise, he came and, well, cum landed on a decorative pillow of mine. I like the pillow. And while we did wipe the pillow off with a damp towel, there's still a slight discoloration. I tore the care tag off of the pillow. It's a brocaded orange velvet, and the cover can be removed. Should I hand wash it, throw it in a cold load of laundry, and line dry? Because of how we choose to have fun, by that she means sex from earlier in the letter, I have a feeling that this might happen again. TMI? I don't know where the line is for you. Thank you for your help.
Definitely not TMI.
Yeah, I feel like that's TMI part should have been earlier in the letter. Yeah. She was worried about TMI. At that point, we're best friends. She can say whatever she wants.
This is actually a super, super easy answer. It's really
semen
fast.
Is protein.
That's
protein
right.
Stain.
Maureen.
That's what sperm is.
Yeah.
Protein.
Maureen is possibly my best student. She doesn't actually apply any of the knowledge I've dropped on her in the past five, almost 6 years. But she remembers all of it. It's actually, you remember things I don't remember.
Of things that I don't ever.
Do you think about white vinegar as often as I do? Because that's all I think about now is just white vinegar. Any spill, any cleanup, I'm just like, do I have any white vinegar?
Protein stain is oxy.
Yes.
Oxygenated.
That's one of them. Yeah, oxygen.
Billy Mays here.
She's so good. She's so good.
For OxyClean.
Yeah. Okay, so this is actually a really easy one, but I like it because it actually allows me to talk about two different things. Lets me talk about cum stains, mm-hmm. which, you know, are going to happen. They're going to happen. But also lets me talk about velvet, which is a thing that I've written about a bunch recently. It's actually not. You just need to know the trick about velvet, which I'm going to tell you about in a second. But I've actually written about velvet a couple of times recently. I did a thing for, because velvet is like a very hot textile right now. Mm-hmm. And so I did a thing for Racked last year about velvet care. And then this year, I don't know if my listeners know this even, I just started doing a monthly column for Town and Country. Ooh. So as you guys know, Ask a Clean Person is at Esquire, and Town and Country is another Hearst magazine. And I got to chatting with the digital editor and was like, hey, I'm a Town and Country person. I'm a preppy person, and I would love to do a column about preppy cleaning problems. And I was like, I just see it as a once a month thing, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, I love it. Let's do it. So the first column was how to get pine sap off the Volvo.
Wait, is that a metaphor for semen?
No, nope, okay. That's just straight playing to the Town and Country crowd.
Okay, sorry.
Volvo the car.
The car. And then
my
January column was about velvet care, because velvet is a very popular fabric, timeless among the preppy set. And so we pegged it to New Year's Eve when the preppy set would be wearing, especially the men.
When you say you pegged it.
Yes, that was very good. Thank you for picking up on that.
Sorry. I can't let that go.
No, you should not let that go. You should absolutely not ever let a pegging joke go untold. So the men in the preppy set tend to wear those velvet slippers with their formal wear.
Stubbs and Wooten.
Yeah, the Stubbs and Wooten slippers. And then, you know, women, velvet is a very, very popular Christmas time textile to wear.
And it's just popular in fashion right now.
Well, yeah. But
I've got a pair of velvet pants I was just wearing the other day. Got a velvet dress.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that was why I was writing about it at Racked at the end of last year, because we were seeing all of this velvet stuff cropping up, and we were like, oh, we should talk about this. And then for Town and Country, it's a different turn because it's Town and Country. So anyway, but let me tell you about the velvet thing. There are basically two kinds of velvet. There is synthetic velvet, and then there's pure velvet. If you've got pure velvet, you should always send that out to a specialty cleaner, the dry cleaner, basically. If you have synthetic velvet.
How do you know it's pure velvet?
The care tag will tell you.
It'll literally say pure velvet.
Yeah.
What is pure velvet made from?
It's I don't know what it is.
Is it like silk velvet? Is that pure
Yes,
velvet?
I think it's silk. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, you're right. It's
okay,
silk.
Got it.
Yeah. So if you have synthetic velvet, which this pillow is assuredly a synthetic velvet, it can be machine washed.
Okay.
So your instructions are same old instructions that I give for every kind of like specialty machine washing thing. Cold water, delicate cycle, air dry it. So basically what she said, she was like, should I machine wash on cold and line dry? Yes, exactly. That's exactly what you should do. So there's your velvet instructions. The cum instructions. So as Maureen has already informed us because she's such a good pupil.
She's an expert.
Semen and female ejaculate also, or female sexual fluids, all fall into the protein stain category. You can either treat them with an enzymatic cleaner or with an oxygen bleach. You do not want to use chlorine bleach. Chlorine bleach is going to do what, Maureen?
It makes it turn yellow.
Yay.
Like,
isn't
when
she good?
Do you think
white
maybe
t-shirts
it's
get armpit stains.
Yeah.
It's yellow.
So is it too late now for the pillow since it's already happened? Like, it's already turned yellow? Like, is she
screwed? No. Because she hasn't done anything to it.
I thought she said she tried to clean it with the wet towel and maybe she put something
she
on
said
there.
She wiped it off, but there's still a stain.
Okay.
So she probably didn't put chlorine bleach on it.
No, I don't think she did. I think she just wiped it.
She probably would have mentioned that. Yeah.
She didn't do anything. And also, she said it was orange, so she wouldn't have put chlorine bleach on something that's orange.
So wait, should she use an oxygenated bleach, or will that fuck it up if it's orange?
No, oxygenated bleach is color safe.
Okay.
So that's A-okay to use on anything. I actually think in this case, she should use the enzymatic spray, the Zout, which is that's the brand that I always like. There are other enzymatic spray cleaners out there that are fine. It's just that, like, Zout is a really, really, really good one.
I also have a mnemonic for that one. It's enzymatic and it starts with a Z, Zout.
Oh, that's good.
There it is.
Oh, that's really good.
So that's right.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's what I think she should do. I think she should just hit the stain with some Zout, throw it in the washing machine, cold water, line dry, good to go.
So a good way to remember that is loads for loads.
Yeah, that's very good.
I mean, hers is good too, but I just feel like mine's good, more dude. Immature. And
yeah. Wait, so if it's a silk velvet, there's nothing you can do by yourself? You just have to get thee to a cleaner?
Yeah. I mean, you can buy dry cleaning solvents and you can treat it at home with dry, but like, honestly, at that point, just take it to the dry. It's cheaper to take it to the dry cleaner, honestly.
All right.
Okay, so there you go. That's a pretty easy answer. We've got another question.
Okay, Donovan writes,
"Yeah,
hi, Jolie. First time, long time. I imagine you get asked this question a lot, and unfortunately, I'm at work, so I can't do a lot of research into the topic. But I was wondering if you had any advice for how to get sex stains out of couches. I currently have a microfiber one, so that's the most pressing issue. But my lady, and I get frisky a lot. And unfortunately, we also left a stain on a couch at a friend's place we were housing. That was some kind of fabric. He doesn't give a shit about this stain. It's not his. It was some kind of fabric. It resembled a drug rug." What's a drug rug, by the way?
Baja. You know the pullovers, Bajas? Do you know what a serape is? Okay.
Like those, like, woven.
It's the Mexican.
I'm picturing, like, the dude's sweater he wears in The Big Lebowski. Is that?
Yes.
Is it like
that's
that?
A Baja.
Kinda?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, this. Like, it's a pullover. It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what a Baja
is.
This
was a cardigan, but.
Okay.
All right. Everyone else knows it. It doesn't matter if I don't know. Are going with OxyClean / white vinegar for this one, or is there something better? Thanks.
Okay, we're not gonna go for OxyClean or white vinegar for this one.
Febreze?
No, sorry, Dave. Sorry.
I have to say, like, I actually, the thought of, as somebody who has encyclopedic knowledge of cleaning but never ever does it, I actually am like, whenever hooking up is getting going, then I'm like, we got to move this to not an upholstered surface because I can't fucking deal with that.
Good for you. That's called being an adult.
Like, none of my, like, like, I would never, I just, like, decorative pillows, they're never going to have, like, delicate fabrics in my life. Because, like, things
get because it's just not realistic
No,
for you.
Everything is, like, it's like a, when you childproof your home and you put, like, round things on all the edges, everything I have is either, like, throw it in the laundry, done, or let's not sit on that one too often.
You've marine-proofed your own home.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. Okay, so here's a thing about the couches. Before I can even tell you what to do about the stain, I need to tell you about the secret couch code. Dave knows the secret couch code because we've already recorded an episode on this. So for the full secret couch code, the rundown of the full secret couch code,
Don't fuck on your friend's couches and leave stains. Is that the code? That's what I thought the code was until you said it was from a past episode.
No. I mean, maybe that's one of the rules. No, for that, I want you guys to refer back to episode 46, but I'm going to give you the brief version of what the couch coat is. So on your couch, you should have a care tag. Don't rip the care tag off your couch.
It's illegal. You go to jail.
Is it illegal with couches? I thought it was just like pillows and mattresses.
I feel like none of it's illegal. I think it's.
I don't think it's illegal.
It's an urban legend.
Yeah, I don't.
I rip the care tag off my couch.
Huh?
I rip the care tag off my couch. Now it happens to me.
Well, now you're not going to know how to care for your couch. Because the thing is, there's an important piece of information on that.
Uh-huh.
You can probably Google the couch.
Okay.
And it will be in the manufacturer's instructions online.
No, I think she means more about her, like, prison future, because this comes out on the
14th. Oh, I'm going to report you.
Just
get
your life in order between now and the 14th, because you're going away.
It's the gulag for you, my friends. I hope you've enjoyed your freedom. Okay, so here you go.
What does care tag say if I were to have one?
Okay, so on this on this care tag, there is going to be a letter, and the letter is going to tell you what type of couch you have in terms of what you may and may not clean it with.
Oh my god, it's a literal code.
Yeah, it's a literal code.
Oh my god, I thought I was.
I know.
Same
I thought
way.
It was gonna be like bro code or something. Okay, yeah, couch literal code.
Cushions before push-ins or something. Some sort of I don't know. Sort of motto that I don't know about.
Never pushing on the cushion is mine.
Oh, that's so good. Oh God, don't push on your friend's cush. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's we could spend all day with this. Okay, so here's the thing. There's going to be a letter. You want to find the letter. The letter is either going to be W, S, SW, or X. Do you not remember any of this, Dave? We literally recorded it all.
I'm super drunk for most of these. I'm not going to lie to you.
But you, like, really liked this one because it was, like, a weird – it was very dudely because it was about couches.
It was dudely.
Dudes love their couches. Like, I've learned things, right, in the course of doing this job, and one of the things I've learned is that dudes love their couches.
Oh, I think I remember this.
Okay. So if the code on your couch is W, that means that you can use water-based cleaners. If the letter on your care tag is S, it means you have to use solvent-based cleaners. If the code is SW, it means you can use either water-based or solvent-based. If the code is X, it means that you should throw the couch out because you will never be able to get it clean.
No one can clean it if it's an X?
No, it doesn't mean that, but basically it does. It means professional cleaning only.
So then you have to find a couch cleaner.
Yeah, so most of you are not going to have the X. Those aren't very common. Okay, so Donovan has to go find his code. Mm-hmm. And then once he knows his code, he can use the appropriate cleaner. Mm-hmm. If it's an S code, he has to use a solvent-based cleaner. He can't use a water-based cleaner.
What are solvent-based
which
cleaners?
Which Zout would be a water-based cleaner.
Oh, I didn't know this component of Zout.
Yeah, so that's the thing. So if he has a W code, which he probably does, most of them are either going to be W or SW, just because people want couches that they can actually clean. If you have the W, you can definitely use the Zout, and I'm going to give you a tip on what I think you should do in addition to just the Zout. If you have the S, the solvent that I think we name checked in the episode 46 is Blue Coral. You don't remember you went on the whole Blue Lagoon jag?
Again, I'm really high, like a lot, but especially like that was like the second half of a back to back. Like I'm.
Oh yeah, you. We go into a fugue state when we record.
How do you remember movie references when you never get the movie references I make during the course? What was the Blue Lagoon thing? Did it have something to do with like them two having the sex on the beach or something?
No, because the product was called Blue Coral, and you were like, "Oh, that sounds like."
That's such a bad joke that I definitely made it.
Definitely made it
for sure. That definitely sounds like something I would say. I'm sorry.
Okay. So anyway, that's the thing. Probably what I would suggest. I do suspect that your microfiber is W, because as I recall it, all microfiber can be water washed. I think you should use this out, but I also think you should do something else. I think that you should get a machine, like a little green machine, one of those machines that basically can like force cleaning solution into the upholstery and then suck it back up. So any one of those like extraction machines, And I would suggest that you go to thesweethome.com and look for their guide to the best of those, because they just recently did a great guide to those.
Guide to suction machines?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And I always love to give a shout out to my friends at the Sweet Home. So that is what I would do. I would use the Zout.
Can you just do it by
hand? You can, but I think you're going to have better luck with the machine. And then I also say that to say this. Someone tweeted at me that she used her little green machine to clean her couch, which had not been cleaned in a very long time or possibly forever. And she took a photo of the water that came out.
Ew.
And it,
oh, no.
Oh, it's the thing I love most in the world. I don't know if you know this. People tweet me photos of their dirty wash water, and I live for it. And I always ask for it, and I like retweet the photos, and I think it's the greatest thing in the world.
Are you someone who also
fetish. That's my fetish. Dirty wash water. Dirty wash water.
Are you also someone who likes like popping zits? Peeling scabs?
A little, but not like.
These are all things that are.
That are anathema to you. No, that's, I mean.
But,
Anyway, so she tweeted this photo at me, and you guys, it was the best wash water. I've seen some great wash water in my years.
Oh, my God.
This took the cake. It was almost black.
Because that's how much dirt was inside of the cushion?
So I'm pushing the machine on you because I want you to use it once to clean a specific stain, and then I want you to see how dirty your couch is, and I want you to do it all the time.
And then send your wash water to delete.
But most of all, I just really want the wash water photo.
I might. How expensive is a little green machine?
That's about $80.
I might get one then. See, I can give you one. A machine that does it.
Wait, I can give you one. I have a portable upholstery cleaning machine.
Well, because then it's kind of like a game. Like, I can vacuum because I'm like, I'm playing with this weird toy. That's fun.
Yeah, I'll give you one. I have a press sample that I can give you.
Oh my God.
I'll get it. I'll be at the Esquire office next week. I'll pick it up and I'll bring it to you.
Oh Jesus. Okay.
And then I can see. Then we'll go have a drink. I'll give it to him and go have a drink.
Oh God.
Get drunk.
I love Maureen. This is the thing. I like any excuse to see Maureen. So yeah, I'll give you my life for that. All right, you guys, listen. That is the end of part one of our very sexy conversation with Maureen O'Connor. So that'll do it for this episode of Ask a Clean Person.
Oh, wait, before you do the thing, can I just say that we reached the climax of the episode?
All right, guys, if you like what you heard today, and literally, why would you not like what you heard today?
This is a lot of good tips. This,
this was very fun.
Mm-hmm. I really want the guy to call or email back when he gets his new collar, because I'm really curious.
Mm-hmm. I'll send him the episode when it drops.
And what the new material is. Are there new cleaning dilemmas? Fascinating.
Yeah. I want to hear about the contract negotiation once the 3 months over too. I want to get to know this person.
We'll make a little Facebook group and we'll all be friends or something like that. How about that? All right, where was I in the sign off?
Sorry,
if you like what you heard today, please consider becoming a patron by going to patreon.com/askacleanperson and selecting one of the amazing rewards we're offering to our listeners. We would also love it if you would subscribe on Acast or iTunes, leave a rating, and tell your pals about this weird, very, very weird little cleaning show that you love so very much. And of course, thank you to our listeners for joining us for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Yay!
Yay! We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.